We're going to try a little experiment. We're going to try a little bit of word association, okay? The idea is that I say a word, and out loud you say the first thing that pops into your head. And we'll see how we go on.
Yeah.
We will see, Karen, we will see. Okay, let's have a quick try. So I say up, and you say?
Down.
Okay, you got the idea, right. Man.
Woman.
Okay. Well, you might get the odd different, we'll see. Dog.
Dog.
Yeah? Strong.
Weak.
Okay. Fish.
Chips.
Well, that was a bit different. Okay. Advent.
Calendar.
Calendar. As soon as you say Advent, what comes up?
Calendar.
If you put Advent into Google, what is the first suggestion that follows Advent? Calendar. That's the first thing that pops into our mind. That's the first thing we think of. And the idea is that a chocolate a day, which I must admit, I'm not knocking. I like the idea of one chocolate a day, leading up to Christmas, in the run up to Christmas. But actually, it's a countdown to Christmas. You know, the numbers are going up, obviously, to correspond to the date in December, but it's a countdown to Christmas. But if it actually just stops at Christmas, it's like a set of stairs that doesn't actually get to the top floor. On Sunday the 24th of September this year, there was a marathon run in Warsaw, and a championship Kenyan runner, and I'm probably going to get this wrong, called Reko Kosege, 900 yards from the finish, just dropped to her knees and stopped running.
Not last year.
No, this year.
September,
24th of September, yeah. 900 yards from the finish, she just stopped dead. And you know, thinking of Advent as simply getting to a Christmas is like that. You've not actually got to the finish line. You've not actually crossed the finish line. You've not actually got to the point of the thing. You've stopped before you've reached your destination. It's true that it's Christmas, but there's more to it than that. So what is Advent? Well, the dictionary definition is arrival of a notable thing or a person. So you could say, the advent of Siri, the advent of television, the advent of the motor car, the advent of the telephone. It's something special, the start of it. From a Christian point of view, Advent is the season, 4 weeks before Christmas, in which we prepare for the coming of Christ. The coming of Christ as the infant saviour, the birth that we celebrate. So it's Christmas, and then we go on from there. In Luke 2, verses 22 to 26, it says this, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. He was waiting. It says for the consolation of Israel, for the comfort of Israel, for the building up of Israel, for the making of Israel in many ways. Luke, in chapter 3, verse 15, tells us the people were waiting expectantly and all wondering in their hearts. And when John came along, they thought, this is it. This is the Messiah. This is what we've been waiting for. This is the one who should come. And he said, sorry, it's not me. But Israel were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the one who'd been promised. It was difficult to count because they didn't actually know what they were counting towards. You know, it's easy for us. We're in December. We know that the 25th of December is going to be Christmas. However, if you didn't know what the actual date was, you'd still be counting, but you wouldn't know when you got there, 2 days away, 1 day away, or whatever. They were waiting. They were yearning. They were anxious for the arrival. What were they waiting for? Well, with their Messiah, they were waiting for one who would bring peace among the nations, as it tells us in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. They were waiting for peace in a natural setting, as it tells us in Isaiah 11, 6 to 9. They were waiting for justice, so that the weak, the poor, and the lowly would be able to get things done right. They were wanting to see all the exiles returned. They wanted to see everybody to acknowledge Jehovah or Yahweh as the one true God. They were waiting for the restoration of Israel, because Israel at that time was under occupation. They were waiting to have God with them. In Ezekiel 37, verse 27, it says this: "My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people." But they were also waiting for more than that. They were waiting for a ruler, a king. We read it out so often at Christmas, Micah 5, verse 2: "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel." They're also looking for somebody who's going to execute justice, and in some ways, to work things out for them with the other nations, Rome especially, who had conquered them. But they had a problem when Jesus turned up. Because whilst he fitted some of the prophecies, I mean, when the wise men went to Herod, they could go to the wise men and say, you know, "We can tell you exactly where it's going to be, because our people have read where it says it's going to be Bethlehem." But there were other things they read about him that he didn't seem to fit the bill. As Michael Card wrote, they were looking for a king who would conquer and kill. Who would have never thought he'd be so meek and humble? So they got these ideas and they were trying to work out how this would all mesh. And they couldn't actually see how it would all fit together. So what they did is they started splitting it up into different people. You know, when they spoke to John, they said, "Are you the Messiah?" He said, "No." They said, "Well, in that case, are you the prophet who's coming?" "No." "Well, are you Elijah?" Because they couldn't see how all these things that fit together in one person. The problem was, it did fit all together in one person, but at different times. Now we can look back and see that, yeah, Christ has fulfilled so many prophecies. So many things predicted about him have come to pass, and yet there is more. And this time of Advent, as we're aiming for Christmas, yes, there's Christmas, but there is more. We don't stop short. There's something else. He fulfilled the prophecies about his birthplace. He fulfilled the prophecies so often about where he would be and what he would do. But there's so much more. He made it clear that there was going to be another time. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 to 3, when he's talking to his disciples, this is what he said. "Jesus left the temple and was walking away from his disciples. They came to him to call his attention to its buildings. 'Do you see all these things?' they said. 'Truly I tell you,' he said, 'not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down.' And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and they said, 'Tell us, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?'" The sign of your coming, an interesting word, parousia, sometimes translated as advent. When will be your advent? In Mark 13, Jesus speaking said this: "At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens." Through the Gospels and the New Testament letters, we're told to wait for his advent, his parousia, his coming. We're in a similar position to the people in Israel of old. We've received the promises. We've been told to wait. We've been told that something is going to happen, and it's the same God who promised before. But we're like them in that we don't actually know the date that we're aiming for. They knew that each day that passed was taking them a day closer to the advent, the coming, the parousia of the Messiah. And we too know that each day brings us one step closer, but we don't know what date that will be. Peter says that we must understand that there will be those who say, where is this coming? Where is this parousia? Where is this Advent? It says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. You know, this Christmas time, this Advent time, we can look back and we see when we received Emmanuel, God with us. But we also look forward to the Advent that he has promised. We wait patiently for his coming. We look forward with eager anticipation for his parousia. With an Advent calendar, we're counting down to the Advent. We're also looking forward to the second Advent. Let the countdown continue.